Roth Radio, New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Cleveland, Boston, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, 866-313-3733. We are internationally available. We're on the internet, www.davidleeroth.com or the davidleerothshow.com. It's not really a show. It's more like a neighborhood. It's not really a neighborhood. It's more like a ghetto. It's not really a ghetto. It's a street corner. It's not really a street corner. It's more like a familiar, warm little street corner candy shop that also sells guns out of the back. Roth Radio, alternately exploring the American Vista for possible conversation and alternating between that and stripping it for parts. You can give us a call, 866-313-3733. And now, I want to complain a little bit. A move to ban smoking in restaurants, bars, and other indoor public places moved a step closer to becoming a law Thursday despite the impassioned pleas of owners of bars and bowling alleys who said it would force many of them to fire employees or close. That's New Jersey is getting ready for the smoking ban. They're going to ban it like it has been here in New York City for quite some time and has been in Los Angeles for some time. I smoke cigarettes, not a whole lot of them, but I smoke. Anybody, any of you guys smoke cigarettes?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a terrible smoker.
How many cigarettes do you smoke?
Probably about a pack and a half a day.
A pack and a half
what
a day?
I'm admitting to.
So you must be an artist. I'm serious.
I quit for 7 years.
Art?
And me and Nick.
You went into construction. No,
Nick
I'm
and
serious.
I both quit. We quit for, he quit for 10, I quit for 7, and one bad drunken night. Boom. See,
why are you looking at me? No, she's talking about her husband.
My husband, Nick.
Nick Bakay, who's quite famous and, you know, been around telecommunications for a while. And you know these guys from ESPN, a whole number of other places here. Lynn, do you smoke? You do occasionally.
I do the, you know, when I drink, I want to have a cigarette or when I get stressed now and then, but I'm not.
Oh, like stop right there. When I drink or when I get stressed, how many more minutes are left in the day?
Yeah. Actually, though, the smoking ban, Dave. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. The smoking ban in New Jersey is going to even the playing field for New York now, because where I live on the border of Jersey and New York, and everyone was running over the border to Jersey bars, and the New York bars were having such a hard time as a result of that. So it's going to kind of even the playing field economically now for the bars in the New York area.
I got to admit that there's places that I go specifically because I know they'll let me sneak a smoke in the back, or like when we were talking over at some of the clubs in Hollywood,
right.
I know where I always call it the captain's table because it's in the back, hidden
by
away
the door,
from,
yeah.
by the door, and you can sit by the door in management or the director of security.
Yeah.
Brian, do you smoke, man?
Sometimes.
And how much do you actually smoke?
Pack and a half a week.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Oh, so you know exactly how much you smoke, huh?
Yeah, you know.
And okay, because you know that the arts and letter community is big-time smokers. Man, you got to see it's astonishing. There's more people smoking cigarettes down where I, on the Lower East Side, on Ludlow, in all of this area where it's just the nightlife, okay? It's like the red light district down there. And everybody who doesn't have enough money for that fourth drink spends their whole evening out on the sidewalks. We have created a whole nother voter block. The outdoor smokers. It's a nation of people. And okay, I don't mind standing outside having a cigarette, but I don't mind Las Vegas either. But what I mind is when you walk little kids past slot machines, and when you walk all the little kids past all of us smoking Marlboro cigarettes and wasting time out on the sidewalk. What are you teaching kids with that?
I understand. Who cares?
Give me a cigarette.
Well, I was going to lead up to that, but
I never smoked myself.
You never smoked, animal? You never smoked cigarettes?
Nah, man. You know, I tried it a couple of times, but it wasn't my thing, you know?
And when did you... So you've smoked pot, though, right?
Yeah.
When did you first smoke pot?
When I was 15.
And what city was that?
Alabama. It wasn't the good stuff because, like, we didn't know about if you just let it grow, it would bud. So we just, when it got full of leaves, we would smoke it.
And you, stop right there. You were 15 years old. Tell me what city this is.
This is Andalusia, Alabama.
Okay, that's real rural. That's about 60 miles south of Montgomery.
Covington County. Of course, before the show, I want to straighten up that tractor business if you give me a chance. I called home yesterday.
He is yesterday for about. We had lunch together. and he was just like on the phone asking someone to like go to the graveyard and dig up John Deere for him because he has got all the facts about attracting.
Okay, well, then let's cut to the chase. We're talking to Animal, our security director here. Animal comes from Andalusia, Alabama.
Covington County. That's... I called some of my cousins. When I was there, they was called like Shade Tree Mechanics and Backwood Mechanics if you worked on, you know, farm equipment. But my cousin said, we're not called that no more. I'm going to talk a little country. That okay to let everybody know I'm legit?
Swing with it, bro.
My cousin said, we are called MacGyvers now. And he told me to tell that tractor boy to bring his tractor on down. If he got the money, I'll make his tractor run as fast as he wanted to run. And he told me to tell him, I'm going to give you this free one right here. If you got a tractor on your yard, you go there and you take the governor off and you change the gears in the transmission. And then you take the pipes and run it down up on it. Take that old pipe off and put you a cherry bomb muffler on it. Boy, you'll get you about 2,500 more horsepower on your tractor, boy. So I hope you out there listening about that. And a tractor came out. It was called Anderson
which
brand
tractor?
It was a tractor called and it was made by Master Ferguson. They made a tractor come off the street. It ran about 55 miles an hour on the street.
Had with to put the governor.
With the governor. And they had weights put on the front to keep it on the ground.
I know that exact tractor.
They put the weights on it to keep the wheels on the ground, which he was right. Tractors were made for pulling. But when you come to Covington County, man, we can juice you up if you got the money. Make your tractor run as fast as you want to. We even had go-cars run 60 miles an hour, boy. And how you do that? You take the go-car motor off, and then you take a chainsaw, put a chainsaw motor on that thing, boy.
And we're going to take the chainsaw to you, Mark.
Yeah.
We're still on track here because that was a
smoking description of a track. That's the most. Now I want to buy a tractor. No, Animal had brought up yesterday that he started driving tractors when you were 10 years old.
Yeah,
down
about
there?
10 years old.
Okay, and he said that there's a tractor that, you know, with the skinny wheels in the front, so you can go down the corn rows, whatever, and that you know, it won't crush the plants and stuff. But if you took the governor off and you fixed it, that it could do 60 miles an hour. And somebody called up, I think from Brooklyn or somebody just a little bit upstate, and said, well, he took exception with it. He impugned Animal's veracity. And,
yes, he did.
And I don't...
So he made me call home just to get rehabilitated.
I think you've redeemed yourself in the eyes of those who may have questioned your authority, and I think that dumb white mofo has no idea how big you are.
I guess he don't know how big I am. I'm a real country boy, you know what I'm saying? I was country fed, you know. I ain't get this big. We just come from this hard work and living down on the farm, eating all that stuff that you call bad, like pork grinds, all pig feet, pickled eggs, and all that. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. Roth Radio, New York, Philadelphia, Dallas knows, Boston knows, Cleveland, they gotta know, Pittsburgh wants to know, West Palm Beach.
And soon, Duluth, Alabama, but he's talking.
Soon Duluth, you know, Andalusia.
How much money you got, that's how fast your tractor go, man.
Rich, calling from Jersey on the Smoking Band, number 6. Rich, are you there?
Hey, how you doing?
Smoking! Uh-oh, use a pun, go to jail. I know what you're thinking. Go ahead, you're on.
I just want to welcome you to New York. I've seen you since 79 at the old Palladium, and as relatively new as when you opened up the Starland Ballroom in Sayreville just recently.
Oh, sure. I know exactly where you're talking about.
Yeah, it was a great show opening night there. I had a good time.
I remember exactly. It was in the snow. It was freezing outside. Brian was there.
Yeah, well, you had a bottle of Jack Daniels on stage with you, so you did okay.
These are allegations.
But as far as the smoking ban goes, I don't smoke, but there's an allure to when you go to a bar. I mean, you know, you're going there, you have a couple drinks, you wake up the next morning with that woman that you're wondering what the hell you're doing with her. But,
and
I mean,
she's crying.
You went to bed with a 10 and you woke up with a 2, right? You went to bed with Marilyn Monroe and you woke up with the human turnip, right?
I mean, the smoke is a smoke screen. Without that smoke, you're going to see what you're getting right off the bat.
Depends what you're smoking, too. These days, it's the stuff that killed Elvis that they're selling out on the street corner, huh? You know what it is? It's like, I forget who said it, but I don't think it's so much the smoke as it is that we fall in love and make lifetime commitments, usually in light so dark that you'd never buy a horse in it. Come on. I know I have.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, even in Jersey, what are they going to do in Atlantic City? I mean, you got smoke. Are they going to have like a petitioned area where you can smoke in a gambling joint? Is that going to be off limits?
That's a good question.
They'll never ban smoking.
There's a lot of money coming in there, and I don't think they're thinking about this. In the right term.
Okay, well, I guarantee you that they're thinking about it in Atlantic City, because Brian and I have played many casinos all over the United States. You know, we're on the same routines that Willie Nelson plays, Earth, Wind, and Fire plays. We follow all through these, you know, you see bands like Cher and all the rock bands to all of these casinos. There are a lot of them that are dry because they won't give the Indians liquor licenses. No, really. And that it's a smoking event. There's nothing but smoke shops, you know, every 30 meters down the hallways and stuff. And that's what people go to do, gamble and smoke, because they can't drink alcohol. So I guarantee you that Atlantic City is thinking about that. And they'll probably, do they still allow smoking indoors in Las Vegas? That's right. We were just
Absolutely. At Sin City, you can smoke in hospitals in Vegas.
Turn the call back up. You can smoke in hospitals in a lot of places, I can tell you. I've been in a few of them just from, you know, road burn and so forth. And most inner city hospitals, after the lights go out and the doctors go up, all the nurses, those are hardworking gals, man. Those are retarded hours. Those are people who take their lives in their hands a lot, with hepatitis B and hepatitis C and hepatitis C and all the airborne stuff. Linda, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I see it in Beverly Hills all the time. They inject collagen and then these nurses are exhausted and they're out in the alleys having a butt after the Botox shots.
Hey, Dave.
Really tiring.
Can I give Robin a
here, hold the kid.
Robin, I got to tell the story. When we were booking Robin to come on the show and to be here, and you asked me to take care of her, you know, her hotel and everything, and you said, make sure everything's good, and I said, no problem, Dave, and I get Robin, and I said, Robin, let me know what it is, and we will not name the hotel. We will not name the hotel because she'll find her luggage on the front of the hotel. And she said, I only have one request, and it's please get me a no smoking room. And I said, Robin, absolutely. She goes, because, you know, I smoke, and those smoking rooms stink.
I do the same thing.
They smell so bad. But I do have a window in my
room. I can't stand it. I have a triple standard. You know, I'll smoke a cigarette on the weekends. Actually, I don't smoke any cigarettes during the week anymore, but like on a Friday night or Saturday night, I definitely will. And I can't stand it when I smell other folks, you know, disgusting. Other folks smoke. Okay, here we go. Coworkers that smoke. Number 8. Nate, you're on. Give me number 8. Make it great.
Good show, man.
Hey, thanks so much. You're talking about coworkers. You like it or dislike it?
I dislike it. I'm a non-smoker myself, and, you know, they always want to go smoke every hour. And
because they leave the bench, then, you're talking about, so
exactly.
to speak. So
I work
speak.
For a large worldwide alarm company in Minneapolis, and... You know, we need people on the floor to help the customers, and they want to go smoke every 15 minutes.
I use smoking as an excuse for everything that I shouldn't be doing, and everywhere that I shouldn't be going, and everywhere I'd like to leave.
I hear you. You know, if we got an alcoholic working there, do they get to go outside and take a shot of you?
I do.
You know, that's what I want to know.
Except on the ambulance, Dave.
Exactly. One more comment, Dave. I'm a member of the RothArmy.com, and, you know, it's,
outstanding.
It's a great organization.
Thank you so much. Hey, I'm glad you called. Stick with us. Right. It's only going to get more colorful.
Thanks, Dave.
866-313-3733, www.davidleeroth.com. We're all over the world. People are tuning in. Some 70 million people these days worldwide tune into the internet for their music needs, and our staff of concerned professionals are standing by. Don't forget to email us, send the carrier pigeon, give us a call, and we're going to talk about... Let me see. I'm looking up at the cliche. Smoking affects business. Maybe we can dovetail this into Mariah Carey's sister. Here we go. Rob from Boston. What kind of business does it affect? Go.
Hey, what's up, Dave? I had a pizza place and had Keno there. And when Massachusetts stopped using the smoking law, I lost my business. Now I'm driving a cab.
Why did you lose your business from pizza to smoking?
Because everybody, you know, stopped going here. You know, my main business came from Keno. Everybody's not hanging out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kino, the game. Kino.
Yeah. Okay. Now I'm driving a cab.
Well, you made a lot more money, evidently, from the Kino than from the pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe you should be in cooking school.
Yeah, maybe not, but I don't know. Now I'm driving the cab, ready to drive into a tree.
Well, drive the cab to a cooking school. All the great journeys begin.
Salted all over the place. I'd rather drive into a tree. This show stinks.
And become a conservationist. You know, you called me.
You're horrible. I tried to listen to it for a couple minutes.
All right, you called me.
Change the dial.
You're horrible.
Okay, what's that? It says...
You're horrible.
No, leave him on. Go ahead. Take your time. Have fun, buddy.
So go ahead. Tell us how horrible it is.
Leave him on. You and your guy. I mean, all they do is laugh at everything you say. It's not even funny.
No. Because he's funny.
Leave him alone, guys. Shut up. You're on.
What's up?
It's all you, baby.
All over the place.
It's you. Leave him alone, Robin. You're on.
Yeah, what's going on? You guys bounce all over the place. I mean, you say something, the rest of you guys laugh.
Come on, Einstein. You can do better than that.
I can't do it. I'm not a radio show host. Neither
well, that's clearly evident. Drop him like a piece of wet Kleenex. Here we go. Anxiety and depression. Maybe our previous caller can learn from the next one. Number 14, Damien, who has anxiety and depression. Do you get callers like this, Damien?
Oh, yeah, I do.
What do you do for a living?
What's that? I own a deli.
Deli is one of my favorite food groups. Okay, so what's on your mind this morning?
Anxiety and depression, it could kill you. It could really change a person. And in today's society, they're always medicating. Is that really the answer?
Probably. But do you think, smoke is a medication? Think about what I'm asking here, because it's a legitimate question. Is smoking a way of medicating oneself? Why is it so popular? Why is smoking so popular? Isn't that a kind of medication?
I think you might be right. Smoking could be a medication.
Have you tried smoking?
I don't smoke.
I know that.
What are we talking about? What smoking was?
I'm looking forward. You're complaining, and I'm looking for a cure.
I'm not sure smoking is the cure, but it's definitely a medication to...
Are you on medication now? Do you take medication for anxiety and depression? Serious question.
It's a serious question, and the answer is yes.
What do you take?
I take Lexapro, which is an antidepressant. I take Neurontin, which is a bipolar medication. And I've been trying to wean myself off the Lexapro, and now I have all these withdrawal symptoms, and I'm going nuts.
What kind of withdrawal symptoms are you experiencing?
I just got over the lightheadedness, and now I got the withdrawal, I think it's a withdrawal symptom, anxiety, man. My heart's just pumping.
Are you doing the withdrawal from Lexapro on your own or under a physician?
I'm doing it on my own, which is the wrong way.
Yeah.
I've been weaning off little at a time.
Bro, what you need is a Cuban cigar and a copy of Barely Legal. Don't go away. We'll be right back with both after this, babe.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
I get up, and nothing ever gets me down.
Play it, Brian. Yeah, live.
You got it tough. Woo! I've seen the toughest around. And I know, baby, just how you feel. You gotta roll with the punches to get what's real. Oh, can't you see me standing here? I got my back against a wrecking machine.
I think you see me, baby.
I ain't the worst that you see.
Well, I might be.
Can't you see what I mean?
A little advice for Lindsay Lohan. Might as well jump. Jump on it, baby.
Might as well jump.
Ride me like a broom, you little witch.
Go ahead, jump. Go ahead and jump.
All right, I'm going to jump on it. Roth Radio, New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, Yakima. Stop looking at me. Yakima is coming. I'm feeling winterly. Where is Yakima? Why are you named Soup?
I've been all over this country, thanks to you, Dave. But I don't know where Yakima is.
We've never played Yakima, right?
Where is it?
I don't know.
Is that like Washington. Some stripper's name?
No. It's no. Hope and Faith are strippers from Albuquerque. Would it actually ruin burst your bubble if I told you that Panama was actually the name of a stripper from Albuquerque, or would it improve the quality of the song? To
I like the song more now.
Okay, there you go. Might as well jump. Play a little guitar there. Do do do. Might as well jump. 866-313-3733. www.davidleeroth.show.com. davidleeroth.com.show. We've banned smoking in New Jersey. We have taken away Angelina Jolie's kids. We What else have we done this morning? what did we start off with? I forget. It was so important. But let's see. Pat Robertson is talking. What is it? There was something here that says somebody's bad-mouthing the Jews. Rolling Stones number one at the gate. The Rolling Stones ranked in $162 million in concert ticket sales. That's almost as much as Jim Carrey makes, isn't it? Go ahead and jump.
Go ahead and jump.
Let's go. Oh, here's somebody who jumped. Ex rocker Gary Glitter faces obscenity charges.
Oh, yeah.
Former British rocker Gary Glitter was formally charged Friday with committing obscene acts with two girls aged 10 and 11 at a Vietnamese resort town. Go ahead and spin the loop up here. Let's talk about this. This is not the first time that Gary Glitter has caught and got his. Whatever you call
riding
that.
Riding My Little Pony.
Okay, most offensive joke of the day. Older guy in a little
city. My job is done.
Chaos, panic, disorder. Our job is finished. Not quite. We have a little while longer to go. Okay, obscene joke of the week here. Older guy, 10-year-old kid, are walking into the forest. Kid says, gee, mister, it's freezing cold and I'm scared. He goes, you're scared. I'm going to have to walk out of here alone.
Oh,
play the guitar on this, baby.
A rolling groaner.
No. Ex-rocker Gary Glitter. This is not the first time that he's gotten popped in. He went off to Cuba. I think he's Cuban. Actually, no. He was living in England and whatever, which is not unusual. That, you buy all your Cuban cigars. They do trade and everything over there. Come on, you're going to run into a lot of Cubans here or whatever. Can you sing me a Gary Glitter song?
You want ratings? I can't sing.
No. It never stopped me. What is a Gary Glitter song? Does
it's
anybody?
The rock and roll. Boom, 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 boom.
Oh, that's.
You know, it's the
rock and roll
the,
part two.
Yeah. Hey!
Okay. Now, does that mean we stop singing the song? Because when because you know, whenever I used to hear that song, I'd feel happier than R. Kelly at recess, man. Come on. Then R. Kelly got busted, and we had to stop singing. I believe I can fly. Right?
Yeah.
And then Peter Townsend got busted doing research, and you know,
is won't there get fooled again.
Tommy, can you hear me?
Apparently, we did get fooled again.
We did. 866-313-3733. Whatever's on your mind. But what's up with Gary Glitter? And if you have any background on this, because I do believe that he's Cuban, and he got kicked out of London for the same stuff, and he went to Cuba. And he lived, wherever for a while. Now he's in Vietnam. You know, this is curious. Vietnam is now becoming a tourist destination. Any of you guys been out of the country towards there? You travel a lot, Lynn, no?
Yeah, I haven't been to Vietnam, though.
No, Vietnam is happening now. They got what's called Ha Long Bay, which is no joke. It's it has those thousand peaks, whatever. A lot of people are going camping over there. When I was working at the hospital, I was a surgical orderly for 2 years coming out of high school. And in the very early 70s when Vietnam was going on, and we got all, the soldiers coming out of Oakland Depot and stuff. And I was working in and out of the burn unit at Sherman Oaks, which is in Southern California. It's all towards the Valley, Hollywood area. And routinely, this was Vietnam. So, you had everything on the news. You had everything in the newspapers, et cetera, et cetera. I was just back at that hospital where I went to work, and Big difference between 1972 and 2 months ago. Now, every parking sign is in Vietnamese and Cambodian and Laotian and Spanish, okay? Every exit and entrance sign is in Vietnamese and Cambodian. Half of the women who work in the hospital, they're great, are Vietnamese, Cambodian, Laotian, whatever. And interesting how things change. You know where the, you know, we want to know where the best Israeli Uzi manufacturer is in the world today? It's not Israel. It's made in Germany. Baby. And the lion shall lay down with the mouse. Give us a call, 866-313-FREE. What, somebody just handed this to me. X-Rocker. Okay, here we go. I'm going to read it up. Glitter, 61, who won fame as a flamboyant glam rocker in the 70s, is accused of kissing and engaging in other physical acts with the girls at his rental home. The charges carry prison terms of 3 to 7 years. And in Vietnam, that's plus life and forever, right? Glitter, whose real name is Paul Francis Gadd. No, that doesn't sound Hispanic to me. Originally faced possible child rapes. Whoa, he originally faced possible child rape charges carrying the death penalty. I got to imagine that shoplifting carries death penalty charges in Vietnam. He's been detained at a jail near Vung Tau. That's right out of Vietnam. I know that name. After he was seized or blah, 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 blah. Okay. Goodbye to him forever, huh?
And this isn't the first time. This has been going on with him for a while.
Oh, this standard. Come on, you can't keep his his hand out of the cookie jar. Come on, think of a better analogy. There's a little Michael Jackson reference too, a little bit there, huh?
A little scary.
Oh, well, it's a little more than scary. So
there was also a bit of news about how he was going to pay the family of these young girls, apparently, for them to testified the truth about the situation.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There was some exchange of
did that go
cash.
South on them?
I don't know. It was a couple of weeks ago. Nothing else kind of came out about that. But the families were, I don't know, a little bit...
There's certain destinations in, like, South America and Southeast Asia that are known for, you know, for being able to solicit children where the families are so poor that they actually sell their kids.
No, you could probably find that up in Spanish Harlem if you tried enough.
You think, David? Yeah.
Absolutely. Money buys everything here. You know that as well as I do, Coach. Come on.
No, I know that, but there's like it's specific. It's like they advertise these
things. Oh, you're talking about specific places like in Costa Rica.
Where it's known, where the trade is known that, you know, you go and you pay the family $50 and you get their 12-year-old virgin daughter. It's like really bad.
Oh, yeah.
Like forever or for a night?
It could depends.
Well, how much are you willing to... Are we talking Euro? No, but they're played like Bangkok. Thailand has been, that's been a pot. That was where R&R was throughout the Vietnam War. And today, that's just Party City. It still is. And people go to tours there specifically to stay up for 3 and 5 days at a time there. You know who goes there routinely? You know our photographer, Neil, routinely. And he fell in love with some little hooker over there. Yeah. And she's learning back. English. This is classic.
Yeah, I know a lot of guys who did the same thing, and then they bring them, they spend 10 years having a party in Thailand, and then bring them back and
little princess comes, and she steps off the plane in American flag hot pants. And he's going to spend the cash to help her get English lessons, you know.
So now she could say, me so hungry.
I want half, Eddie. Half.
First thing she learns.
And it fell apart. He even got her name tattooed on his leg or something like this. Right? You got to watch out for that. You know, it's the old story of I got the picture of my girlfriend tattooed on my chest and then she broke up with me. So now what do? You get a tattoo of a pistol with a bullet.
The only name tattoo I'd have put on my body would be my pets.
What pets?
I have three, but I have a lovely puppy and a couple of cats, but those are the only, well, I'd probably put Nick at this point. We've been together for 15 years, so that's probably going to stick. And if you're listening,
you would put pictures of the pet,
no,
or you put their names?
God, no. And I have no tats, but if I was going to tattoo somebody's name, the only commitment I would make would be my pets, because I'm never going to stop loving them. And I'm not going to put a gun next to the name of the person I did stop loving, so. So.
See over right above my Speedos, I wrote Little Elvis. And I'm right over the crack of my butt, it says, abandon hope, all ye who enter. On one cheek, I got a propeller. On the other, I got a rudder. It says 22 knots, no smoke. Twin screws, stand clear. See, I could fall overboard now, and that'll propel me right there. That's right.
You got to put Choppy Waters somewhere. I don't know why, but
Choppy Waters sounds like the name of somebody, doesn't
it? Yeah. Some jazz player.
No, it's not a jazz player. I was thinking more like a child television show host who got caught, like Gary Cliff. 866-313-3733. Everybody's fair game. What, did I miss a meeting or something? They're looking lively in the other room here. Give us a call. Roth Radio. We're broadcasting from New York, and we're explaining it all to Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, and everyone who's within the internet reach. Boom, baby. Here's a spot for you.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.
Give me a little soul, brother.
Bad Brian Young live in the studio, man. Roth Radio, rhythm is my business, and we're on a mission from God. Or at least we're on a mission to help Lindsay Lohan. What do you think? Is anorexia actually a fashion accessory these days? Or?
Sure seems that way. You know what's freaky when they...
Hold on, turn her up there. I got to hear this.
When they get all skinny and it makes their heads look real big. They look like those little bobblehead dolls. Well, you can see the collarbones and then the head's like, oh.
What do they call that? The sternomastocloidal.
Oh, is that what that is? I've heard that term. I never knew what it was.
No, it's those lines. When you do this with your neck and you can see the lines like that, you know, you get like that. And whenever you're singing, that tightens up. That's called sternomastocloidal, right?
Miss Lohan just moved into my building.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Which building? The one in L.A.?
In L.A., yeah.
How do you know?
Because I live there.
No, but doesn't she like sneak? Doesn't she like use the Elvis entrance or something like that?
She bought a couple of units and is renovating them. So she hasn't physically moved in yet, but I've seen her there. And
smelled the puke in the elevator?
smelled the vomit. Wake up and smell the vomit.
Why are you saying? Because she's pregnant and has morning sickness or because she's bulimic?
No.
Is she actually bulimic?
No, I think she's better now. I actually saw her about probably a month ago. And she looked pretty good.
Because I remember when I went. Remember when there was the model cafe, the models cafe, or whatever that was. Remember?
Yeah.
I actually went there. How long did that last? 14 minutes in two hors d'oeuvres, you know. And who owned that? Christy Turlington was involved in that. Naomi Campbell owned that and everything.
The supermodels.
I actually went one night. I asked them. I said, "Give me what the supermodels eat." And they gave me a bucket and a feather. Excuse me, I'm still digesting my potato chip. Excuse me, I have to go purge a cert.
Warn me next time. I won't swallow.
It came out your nose.
Liquid all over you now, Robin. Look at you.
At least I'm clean.
Lindsay cuts to the chase in a tell-all interview in the latest issue of Vanity Fair on newsstands. The Mean Girl star confesses that she experimented with drugs, struggling with bulimia. Let's just stop right there. What kind of drugs do you think she's doing, animal? Hold on. Turn it up there. Get off it.
Sound like she's doing some kind of speed or something, talking like that, you know?
Well, you know what's happening is a lot of these kids are doing what they think is blow, and it's not. It's methamphetamine and whatever. The mystique of cocaine is still carrying with us. You know, that's what Scarface was about. That's what the Rolling Stones was about. The Van Halen was about. That's what sports stars, you know, throughout the 80s, early 90s, you know, whether it's a football players and basketball, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not what they're doing. What's going on around there is very deadly and different. Not that cocaine is safe and
meth is highly addictive, more so than cocaine.
Yeah,
highly
a lot of people are using it for purpose now. They're not using it for recreation, and that's why in the last year alone, all 3,800 methamphetamine labs got busted. That means there's three times as many that didn't get busted. And that's not people partying on Friday night. That's not people just, you know, so you can stay witty and funny and sexy. That's people who are using it so they can stay awake and drive the truck. That's people who can are using it who can stay awake and work a double shift plus overtime.
How do they do that? Is it a snorting thing?
Snorting. You take a little pump, you know, just a little match out of that stuff, and it'll race your heart, and you will stay up for about 8 to 11 hours on just two little match heads worth. And this is what's happening also in the music industry. We're getting a lot of friends and colleagues in rock and roll who have gone reclusive and disappeared. And where are they? Yeah. And what are they doing? They think they're doing cocaine. And what happens is with that methamphetamine is you become reclusive. You become, when we come into some of the houses up in the, in some of these precincts in the ambulance, you think you're walking into something that looks like a leper colony. You know, people get, they stop taking care of themselves. They stop taking care of their kids. They stop taking, it's filthy in
there. They
don't
even want to go to the bathroom. You see like these jug bottle of wines and they piss in them so they don't even have to get out of bed.
It's
like
the trucker's friend. There's a website called Faces of Meth that's so scary.
And what does it show?
It shows before and after pictures of people who have, you know, major league tweakers. And they lose all the fat in their faces. They're so, I mean, to call them disheveled hardly sums it up.
It ruined a big part of my musical career, not because I was doing it.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean. A lot of people think that they're doing one thing that's glamorous, and next thing you know, all productivity ceases. Van Halen, as a rock band, inarguably, in the last 10 years, could have only worked up. We've been offered $1 million per show. Okay. Added that up times three tours. Probably close to $400 million have gone into the toilet. When we talk about... I'm sorry. You want some... You got change?
No, just like every EMS and cop.
That's my accountant calling.
Every EMS and cop is calling me in the city of New York, and I forgot to turn off my phone, Dave. I'm sorry.
Well, we're broadcasting. We're the voice of blue now, you know. Seriously. Who better to voice the, let's get some parity out there. Let's raise the wages. Let's raise the benefits.
There you go, Dave.
Hey,
you
come know. On. If you drive an ambulance to work, that's lights and sirens, and half the time you're on two wheels. I don't even want to ride my bike on these streets. And you're going to go racing through this? I'm a big fan of public transportation. Mine just has lights and sirens.
Yep, Mayor Bloomberg. Treat them like the uniform service they should be, and they are.
They should all be. Come on, if you wear a sidearm to work, if you need to carry a gun to work, you should have all those benefits. You should have everything covered for you. If you're going to run into a burning fire, you should have all those benefits. You should have your pay doubled. I'm convinced of that. If you work in the military, you should have your pay doubled. And then we could start to talk a little bit about, there's not so much backdoor draft there. You know, the backdoor of, people only sign up for the military in a lot of these superstructures in the city because there's no other way to go and it's cheap. And I don't believe it. I got the privilege of working with alongside the cops and the police and the fire and my favorite, emergency medical. And these are the people who support the city, who make the city actually function. Come on.
Yeah, Dave, and speaking about the meth labs, when we get calls there, I mean...
That's what supports the rest of the city.
Yeah. No, these meth... Going up to these buildings, Dave, these meth labs are dangerous to the EMS personnel, to the firemen if there's
a
fire.
I've got my Tyvek suit and my gas mask and the rest of it, and every time they got to go in, they've got to wear the double with the scuba on the inside and what have you. This is a routine. You know what's a really good movie is the movie Spun. Have you seen that one? It's with John Leguizamo and Brittany Murphy and a whole bunch of people, and it was made by a Swedish guy. It's an underground, it's an independent. They don't call them underground anymore. It's an independent. Sometimes it's on cable. You see it frequently. It's called Spun. It's a hilarious movie, and Mickey Rourke plays the meth cook, baby. Yeah, the lab blows up at the end. Weigh in on this. We'll take a call, 866-313-3733. Number 10, Craig, talk to me about... You. Go ahead, man. You're on.
What's up, Dave? How you doing, man?
Spectacular. What's on your mind?
Well, I mean, I heard you talking before about, you know, kids thinking they're doing coke and getting meth. I mean, especially when you bring up a name like Lindsay Lohan. I mean, that's not possible. I mean, you know if you're getting coke or meth. It's not like you're shocked to find out that you're doing methamphetamine instead of cocaine.
It's cut with it.
No, it's totally cut with it, and you couldn't possibly be more mistaken if you tried. Yeah, and clearly, I know the difference because I've done plenty of both. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, cut with it. I mean, it's not going to be. You know the difference as soon as it hits your nostrils.
No, you're out of your mind. What these kids are doing over there, they think is one thing because they've never had the other thing. Okay.
People in Hollywood are getting stuff cut with meth and not
absolutely. Dip his line there. Touch. No, absolutely. What's going on is it's changed over the years. What you have is a whole bathtub issue of industrial strength. Go fast. It has nothing to do with what was originally issued. What was originally issued was dangerous too. Cocaine will kill you just as fast. As my first job, remember you sent me over to Maimonides, Maimo, what is it, on 38th over in Brooklyn, right? That was my first shift. The first thing I call, my first call is 25-year-old kid who vapor locked, coded right over the radio, cocaine OD. First thing I heard, at 6 o'clock I signed on, at 6:05, first kid died.
Oh, wow.
Now they've increased the heat, okay? And what's happening is you got people who are signing up, and I can tell you, I don't know about Lindsay Lohan. That's still, you know, she's saying she did coke or whatever, but she didn't do whatever. It's all the famous societants and the glitterati that you read about who you don't know, and I do know the names, and so do you, Animal. And they go over into Las Vegas, and they rent a couple of big suites and kill off 3 days and two nights, and nobody sleeps. Nobody sleeps.
And Dave, you know as well as I do, and I've seen this too, I've gone on a lot of jobs in the city, and, you know, people run out of their preferred drug, and they want something, they'll do anything. They'll grab anything. If it looks white, looks like cocaine, even some of the heroin right now. We have an epidemic with some heroin that is bad, and people don't even know what they're taking.
Okay, I'm gonna say a name to you, and I'm gonna play a trick on you. Okay, ready? I'm gonna say a couple of names, and you tell me if this is a medical syndrome or a rock band on Sony Records. Ready? Here we go. Mid-level Fury.
Band.
No, that's what I felt when I woke up this morning. Here we go. Now try this one. Pregnant, crackhead, lesbian, childbirth.
Rock band.
No, that's an actual medical term that if I say it in any garage, in any precinct, in any jurisdiction, whether it's from the 47th in Yonkers all the way down across the street to Jersey, and every single paramedic's going to have a story about that, right? Every single EMT operator who's been on shift for at least 100 drops has delivered a baby from a pregnant lesbian crackhead who doesn't even want to leave the room. They just hand off the kid like a little football.
Dave, you gotta fish it out of the toilet. Dave, you gotta fish him out of the toilet bowl sometimes. Are you listening, Maya Bloomberg?
It's like EMT campfire stories.
Robin, to be honest with you, and sometimes a bunch of us go out and, you know, there's no seats at the diner for everybody because there's like 10 of us going out. All we have to do is like two of us have to sit at a table and start talking about, our day at work. The whole diner clears out. The whole garage comes in.
Roth Radio. Welcome to Diamond Dave's Tiki Bunker, where the debris meets the sea. We don't get the well ones down here, and we're proud of it. Don't go away. More after this.